Don and Phil Everly at Radio 59 WMBS. Everly Bros and bye-bye low. 65 degrees in downtown Uniontown. It is 11:25 and time now for the Home Care Connection, brought to you by Abbey Home Healthcare. You can listen to the Home Care Connection every Thursday at 11:25 a.m. right here at Radio 59 WMBS. And now, our genial host and also the supervisor at Abbey Home Healthcare, Connie Slapback. And a good morning to you, Connie.
Good morning, Timothy. How are you?
Fine. Yourself?
I'm just great. Look at me. I'm just all tangled up in wires and crazy over here, but
yeah.
I'm settling in.
You got wires and little circles and earmuffs.
Earmuffs? I've got the earmuffs. Boy, I don't need them today, do I?
Oh, you did it again,
Isn't
Connie.
Isn't it beautiful?
Why? You have the magic touch. Every Thursday, it's like this, you know? Beautiful.
We're just going to have to keep this thing going.
Absolutely.
Well, good morning to everyone, and welcome to Home Care Connection, your source for stress-relieving elder care tips, strategies, ideas, and resources. And I'm Connie Slampack, administrator of Abbey Home Health Care, where we send nurses, therapists, chore workers, and sitters to you. And remember, home care is your choice, so please ask for Abbey. Well, good morning and welcome back to Home Care Connection on this beautiful day. I'm Connie Slampack, administrator of Abbey Home Health Care. And today, as I said, my guest is Lori Katz. And Lori, a nationally certified educational diagnostician, retired in January of 2011 due to complications from Parkinson's. And over her 36-year career, she's worked as an advocate for students with special needs. Her role has allowed her to interact and affect the lives of families, school administrators, educational researchers, and children. Lori's developed many advocacy skills that she's applied when working with the Parkinson's community. She's developed, published, and presented a workshop on simple ideas which can make living with PD easier. And presently, she volunteers at the Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorder Center in Pennsylvania Hospital in Philadelphia, who started a women's support group and was a Parkinson's Action Network delegate from New Jersey at their annual convention in March of 2011. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Connie.
Welcome to Home Care Connection, and thank you so much for being a guest today.
You're welcome.
Lori, first of all, I would like to ask you the question, because a lot of people really can't be specific and nail this down. What is Parkinson's disease?
Parkinson's disease is a degenerative disease of the nervous system. And people who have Parkinson's can experience trouble with coordination of movements, initiating balance, control. It's a progressive disease, which means that the symptoms are going to get worse over time and cause some disabilities as time goes on.
Okay, so it is progressive, and it doesn't necessarily start out with a big bang. It's here. It starts out slowly.
Right. It starts out slowly, and I have to say I'm fortunate because my disease progression has been slow overall. So despite being diagnosed in 2005, I still can function fairly well.
Lori, can you tell me who in general is affected by Parkinson's disease?
Most people diagnosed with Parkinson's disease are over the age of 60. And you see that group, you know, a lot of people with Parkinson's in that group. There are a group of people who are diagnosed with Parkinson's under the age of 50. That's called a young onset group, and those people run into some significant difficulties because they're still in the working ages, mm-hmm. and they have to support families, and sometimes their disease, if it progresses quickly, they end up having to go out on disability and not be able to work the way they had envisioned their life to be.
Exactly, and what a tragedy that is. Lori, is Parkinson's inherited? Is it a hereditary disease?
They're not exactly sure, which is amazing after all the years that this disease has been around. They think that it's probably a combination of genetic and environmental factors. It's more often genetic for families who have early onset Parkinson's in their family, but for older people, it's harder to really tell, and you just may never know what exactly caused Parkinson's.
Very interesting. So what are the symptoms of Parkinson's? What should we be looking for?
Well, there are four main motor symptoms, and then there are many non-motor symptoms, which I'll touch on a little bit later.
Okay.
One is called bradykinesia, which is a slowness in movement. So the things that were used to be automatic, such as swinging your arm or gesturing with your hands, those may become reduced. Also, you get a facial mask, which means you don't have the amount of facial expression as you used to. And that can be disturbing because people can't always tell what you're feeling by just looking at your face. Most people think that tremor is the most common symptom of Parkinson's disease.
Yes.
And I'm sure everybody's seen people where their hands shake.
Mm-hmm.
Tremor in Parkinson's is a resting tremor. And if you see someone just standing there and their hand be moving back and forth, that's probably a Parkinson's tremor as opposed to other kinds of tremors that you get with other kinds of diseases. There's also rigidity, and that's something that I suffer with. And it's not very evident to other people because your muscles get very tight and very uncomfortable. Sometimes you get something called freezing, where your muscles are very stiff and you can't move, and you have to come up with alternative ways to get yourself started, especially in walking. There's also a posture where you find people will be stooped over or their body will be leaning forward. It almost looks like they're going to fall.
Yes.
And sometimes they take smaller steps rather than larger steps to compensate. So you will see a shuffling gait of people with Parkinson's. The other thing about Parkinson's is that it usually starts on one side. And I'm a righty, and
mm-hmm.
my Parkinson's started on my right side. And the first symptom I had was something called micrographia, which was my handwriting changed from big, flowy, beautiful handwriting to little, teeny, tiny handwriting practically overnight. So it was pretty hard to do my job when I did a lot of writing when it became very little. I also wanted to talk about the non-motor symptoms because sometimes people have non-motor symptoms many, many years before they have the motor symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't know this, but pain can be associated with Parkinson's. We also find that some people get very confused or even a dementia when they have Parkinson's. Some other things is people can have fatigue or sleep disturbances. There's even a sleep disturbance that the people lash out at their bed partners. So you have to be careful if you have that sleep disturbance.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are depressed.
Mm-hmm.
There are cognitive changes. There are a lot of people who suffer from anxiety or fears. And there's also constipation or urinary problems. So all of those last group, you know, are things that you don't think of with Parkinson's disease. But as you get to know the disease, you find out that they can be a part of it.
Yeah, that's very interesting because I think, and again, that's why I'm so grateful that you're with us today. When we think Parkinson's, mostly we think about the tremors and maybe the shuffling in the walk, but we don't realize how extensively this disease affects us.
Right, and I left one out. One of the first symptoms that I had, which I had no idea was Parkinson's related, was I lost my sense of smell.
Really?
And that can happen 10 years before you develop anything else. So, you know, that's an interesting symptom.
Very much so. I don't think I've ever heard that one.
Well, honestly, the University of Pennsylvania is doing a study now that they have people come in and smell different smells to see how their smelling ability is. And hopefully down the line, they'll be able to diagnose people much, much earlier by the sense of smell.
Can I ask you, Lori, how is the research going in Parkinson's? Because it just seems like there's so much out there. There are so many symptoms, so many complications. Is the research keeping up with that?
Well, as to finding a cure, they haven't gotten there yet.
Right.
There is a lot of research going on. I'm sure everybody knows Michael J. Fox.
Yes.
He has a very large foundation that does research and, you know, does good research. The Parkinson's Disease Foundation, where I'm a research advocate for them, they do a tremendous job with research for Parkinson's. But there are so many areas to look at that, you know, it's taking a lot longer than people thought to find a cure.
Well, I have one more question sort of on the side here, but in reading, I had seen something when you were talking about tremors that there's one called the pill rolling tremor,
right,
which I had never heard of before. Can you describe that? Why is it called the pill rolling tremor?
Well, it's a resting tremor, and it looks like you would have a pill in your hand, and you'd be rubbing it, and I don't know if that describes it, but, you know, it looks like you're rolling something in your hand, and again,
okay,
it's a resting tremor, so you would see it if someone were, you know, not doing something with their hands, they were standing in one place or sitting. You know, you would see that kind of pill rolling tremor.
Interesting. I just had never heard that term before.
Right.
Well, Lori, I'm going to go ahead.
I was going to say, people don't know. I don't have a very evident tremor. So people don't know that I have Parkinson's, because that's what most people assume is Parkinson's, is a tremor.
Right.
So for those of us who don't have much of a tremor, we're sort of deceiving to the general public.
Right, and that's what you're giving us today is knowing that there's so much more to this disease.
Right.
Lori, I'm going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back in 1 minute. Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning, and welcome back to Home Care Connection. I'm Connie Slampack, Administrator of Abbey Home Health Care, and April is Parkinson's Disease Awareness Month, and today I'm talking with Lori Katz, a research advocate with the Parkinson's Disease Foundation. And Lori's just bringing us wonderful information today, and I just think it's so much needed to make everybody aware of what's going on with Parkinson's. So, Lori, let's talk a little bit about how is Parkinson's disease diagnosed?
Well, interestingly, there's no specific test for Parkinson's disease. Like, you can't go in and get an MRI and they say, ah, yes, there it is, she has Parkinson's disease.
Wow, I didn't know that.
What doctors use are they look at your symptoms on a physical exam, and there need to be 2 to 4 symptoms to make a diagnosis. And they might do an MRI to rule out other diseases, but generally, you know, there's no specific test. One of the ways they look at things with Parkinson's is that how you respond to medication. If they use the Parkinson's medications that replace the dopamine in your brain, and you respond, then they say, "Aha, she did or he did have does have Parkinson's."
Now that's very interesting to me that there are no clear-cut diagnosing processes.
Right. Well, interestingly, there is a new scan out that just came out within the past few months. It's called a DAT scan, and it's just been approved for general use. And that now they're starting to be able to use that to diagnose new patients. And what they look at is the change in the cell shape of the dopamine. So generally, the dopamine cells look like a little fish with a tail. And if you don't have those tails, then they can say that you've lost, you know, there's been some loss in the dopamine in your brain. They're also looking at biomarkers, things like your spinal fluid, to see if they can come up with other markers that would show that someone has Parkinson's disease.
Now, we touched on this a little bit earlier. There is no cure for Parkinson's, is that correct?
That's correct. You can control your symptoms through medication and lifestyle adjustments, and if things get very serious, there is surgery that they do called DBS surgery, and that does help many people, but that's something that's held off for a long time and made sure they went through all of the other approaches. And also then you have to meet the criteria of that are established by the hospital that does the deep brain stimulation.
Okay, so, and I'm sure, you know, medications, there are different ones for different people with different symptoms, and everything is very much customized.
It is very customized. Everybody has a different approach. But I will say that most everybody with Parkinson's disease at some point goes on dopamine, some sort of dopamine replacement medication.
Oh, okay. Now, you know, there are so many of us out there and that are see you as a wonderful example. How does someone, you know, keep Parkinson's from affecting their everyday life, such as you do?
Well, I have to say I'm fortunate that I have a positive attitude, and I have a real good sense of humor, so I can laugh at some of my symptoms. That was a genetic thing from my dad, and it's been very helpful. I really, one of the things that's so important in Parkinson's is to exercise, and I never thought I would say this, but I really do exercise consistently and often. It helps with balance, it helps with flexibility and your ease of movement. I'm also an avid reader. I learn everything I can about Parkinson's. I know there are people out there who are afraid to read about it because they're scared that that will be their future, but my feeling is that the more I know, the more proactive I can be.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you have to realize that you're going to, there are going to be things you can and can't do, and you're going to have to make appropriate accommodations so you can work around your difficulties. And when I need help, you know, I'm willing to ask for help. You know, I think we have to realize that at some point there are going to be things we can't do.
And that is so important, to be able to actually ask for help.
Absolutely, and not be upset. But I do have to say that when you're with a group of Parkinson's people, or we call ourselves PWPs, people with Parkinson's, when you're having trouble putting your jacket on, there's always someone who's going to come over and help you, because we all know that that's something that we all have trouble with. So that makes it a little bit easier.
It sure does. Well, now, can you talk to us a little bit about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation and how you got involved with the organization?
I will be happy to. PDF is a national organization, and it funds research and ideas to improve the lives of people with Parkinson's. So at some point last early fall, they sent out and requests for people who wanted to participate in something called their Clinical Research Learning Institute. So, like I said, I participate in everything I can, so I applied and was fortunate to be accepted. And that was a 3-day training where people with Parkinson's learned to become research advocates. And what that means is that we work to influence research and the speed of development of new treatments for Parkinson's. And PDF has trained 156 advocates from 36 states, and hopefully they'll continue with the training. They had wonderful speakers come in and really empowered us to go out to try to encourage people to participate in research.
Well, Lori, as I said earlier, April is Parkinson's Disease Awareness Month. So can you talk to us a little bit about some of the events that are going on throughout the country?
There are many, many local events as well as, like you said, national events. For example, there are a lot of walks going on. As a matter of fact, I have a team walking this Saturday in Philadelphia for the Parkinson's Council Stamp Out Parkinson's Walk, in Philadelphia. The following week, the Unity Walk is in New York City, where they sometimes have upwards of 10,000 people walking to bring Parkinson's awareness. And I'm walking on a friend's team that weekend. PDF is doing something called Pair Up for Parkinson's Research, and it's a way to say thank you to the people who have Parkinson's and their care partners who have participated in clinical studies. And it increases an awareness about clinical research among those who have, you know, who maybe haven't participated yet. And PDF has 25 events going on in 20 states this month. Other things people have done is handed out materials at public libraries to inform the communities about Parkinson's. As many others around the country, the township of Cherry Hill, New Jersey, where I live, has recognized April as Parkinson's Awareness Month, and we've received a proclamation from the town council saying that. Also, there have been many townships, states, and even the United States Senate has made such a proclamation this month. PDF also has a free toolkit called 30 Ways to Raise Awareness About Parkinson's, which has many tips and ideas of how people can get involved with that. And you can get that by calling 800-457-6675 or going to their website, which is www.pdf.org.
Okay, and I'm assuming that this website is just, they're always so packed full of wonderful information, and I'm sure a lot of the information that you gave us also concerning, you know, symptoms and, you know, some people are just get concerned and don't know, but I always tell them, ask your doctor. If you think you're having symptoms with anything, you need to go to your doctor.
Right, and that's very true. I do have to say, though, that because there are symptoms that aren't typical symptoms, like if you don't have a typical tremor, sometimes a general practitioner might not be sure what's wrong with you. So if you get sent on to someone else to look at your symptoms, that might be a good thing, rather than a general practitioner making a diagnosis they're not sure about.
Right, and you, and if they do refer you out, you need to follow up. Sometimes people just don't want to go to that second person or that specialist.
Right, because they're scared. But in Parkinson's, the earlier you know, the more you can take care of yourself.
Wonderful. And can you give us that website and phone number again, please?
Sure. Their phone number is 800-457-6675. And their website is www.pdf.org.
Right.
And it's a wealth of information on diagnosis, research. They have webinars. You just can spend so much time learning about Parkinson's on their website. It's very, very helpful.
Great. Well, Lori, I just have, just a few more seconds left. Is there anything else you'd like to share in a few seconds here with our listeners?
Well, I'd just like to say that working for me at a grassroots level with this community, even when I worked on the national level, has been very rewarding. The ability to interact with other people with Parkinson's, you know, so that they don't feel as isolated is very important to me.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Lori, and I encourage all our listeners to look for that website.
Great. Thank you, Connie.
Thank you. And with that, Timothy, I'm out.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to WMBS Uniontown.